You press the.
I've done it. Done it. So yeah, I think we've done it. Yeah. Anyway, we are live, everybody. Welcome everybody to Brain Food Live on Air. It is episode 52. We are talking sourcing shortcuts with Jonathan Kidder and potentially very special additional guest later on in the show, Susanna Fraser. Welcome everybody who is watching the show. As we always do, just a bit of housekeeping. Can anybody, everyone on Crowdcast, just say hello? Just let me know whether you can hear me okay. That'd be very good. Same goes for everyone now watching on the Facebook group. If you can actually hear what I'm saying, please just comment to say, yes, Hong, I can hear you, or just say hi. And finally, for the folks who are watching on LinkedIn Live, can I just say the same again? Just quickly comment to say, yes, Hong, I can see you, I can hear you. Please continue and get over the housekeeping. Okay, great. Looks like we're on the go.
This is like a live music event where the lead singer takes his microphone over to the left and says, okay, left the stage, and they all start singing, and then, okay, you in the middle, now you do it.
Yeah, it's a bit of testing, but a bit of audience engagement as well, you know. But we need to do it streamway. I think we're even out to Periscope as well here, so I've no idea how many people are going to watch it here. But yeah, lots of channels. Please say hi. We're all going to be on the go. It's going to be cool. All right. Before we start, a quick word to our sponsors. Every Brain Food Live has been sponsored for 2020, so it wouldn't be happening without these companies stepping in and saying, Hong, I want you to keep going. So I want to give a big shout out to our buddies at Stack Overflow. Everyone knows Stack Overflow, of course, one of the premium places to hire software engineers. Really, if you are hiring for tech and you're not on Stack Overflow, what are you doing? Please do check them out. They're still, I think, probably the most likely source for you to get a software engineer, at least from a sourcing point of view. And I think pretty decent on their ads product as well. So I'm just going to share the link to their talents product. Check out Stack Overflow. Anyway, on to the rest of the show. I'm joined, as ever, by my co-pilot and former chief promoter, Adam Gordon. Adam, how you doing, man?
Yeah, fine. I like the way that I get described. I miss one week and I get described as former chief promoter.
Dude, now I'm kind of monitoring it. And now I'm monitoring.
Over time, I'm definitely chief promoter. So yeah, my KPIs seem to be like on a week by week basis now, I see.
You know what, on the Food Hall of Fame, which we're about to launch and actually repurpose as a people's job board for recruiters looking for work. But anyway, we still scored it all. We'll be able to measure your score on that because it's based on who's promoted more or less. But I don't think you're in the top three anymore.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. Other people have just shot right past you. But
I'm
anyway.
Sure Dennis, I'm sure Dennis is probably top. But
We scored differently. Yeah, you're up there. You're in the top five. But you can see on the thing once we publish it, which hopefully will be this weekend. Anyway, we always start with a bit of a review on the last week's Brain Food. So did you read the last week's newsletter, Adam? And if you did, what was interesting about it?
I did. I'm finding it difficult to watch the news right now because there is no news apart from one subject, of course. Literally just multiple angles on one specific subject. That has obviously turned Brain Food's turned into the same. So
yeah,
I did read it. I liked the very first one, the McKinsey article about leadership in a time of crisis. Mm-hmm. There's so many bad ways of doing it, isn't there? But there's a good playbook for how to be a good leader in a time of crisis. And so I would recommend anybody that's leading a business go and read this article because there's practical things in here and good examples from people that are doing it well.
Yeah, I thought that was a really strong post as well, which is why I put it right at the top. So if you haven't read it, please do check out that McKinsey post I've just shared in the chat stream there.
Yeah, absolutely. I could lead me on to let's talk about Donald Trump for a minute or two, but I did enjoy the Democrat sponsored or no, sorry, the people in favor of the Democrats putting out an advert yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was a 30-second advert that featured nothing but Donald Trump's voice. So, like, no Democrats talking whatsoever. I thought that was pretty interesting.
You know what? On that video, it's really clever because it also tracks the kind of case count in the US, as he quotes, it was no problem. So I think it was very cleverly done. Very good bit of advertising. I mean, let's not get too political in this conversation here.
No. Okay. So Adzuna's research about number of vacancies going down. I mean, that's not really. It's not news yet. Well, it's not. We would all expect this, but actually, if you need the statistics for something, then go onto that Adzuna post and. Good information in there about which areas, vacancies are going specifically down in. I am pretty sure they're going up in certain areas of engineering, bioscience, biotech, and of course, obviously, healthcare. And as I think I mentioned last week, there's a lot of consumer tech companies where demand is going up as well. I'd love to be a big shareholder in Zoom right now. That company's gone from being one of the pack when it comes to video communications to being the one that there's millions of people talking about Zoom that had never heard of it 2 weeks ago. I don't hear BlueJeans getting used as a verb right now. So
I was about to mention that it's becoming like this generation Skype. You know, when people used to say, "Oh, let's Skype," now people are saying, "Oh, let's Zoom." It's become a verb, which is basically, if you know anything about branding, if that's become your thing, you've basically attached yourself to a behavior, which makes yourself in really great shape. Okay, one more before we start bringing our guests onto the show, Adam.
Well, you said not to politicize things, and then, okay, we're not going to politicize it. And this isn't politics. It's it really is sociology. Andrew Yang.
Yes.
So I know that we talk about him. You talk about him a lot, but we talk about him on the show from time to time as well. And yeah, his view on coronavirus, I completely agree. It was really, really interesting, his perspective, and more people should have been thinking like that.
Yeah, on that note, Andrew Yang was the Democratic presidential candidate who dropped out a couple of months ago before actually this crisis emerged. But his signature policy, which everyone thought was completely crazy, is now getting rolled out. So it's like basically give everyone $1,000 a month, every month, as a right of citizenship. And that's a better way of bailing out the country rather than bailing out the banks with basically an IOU. So people were criticizing him for saying, oh, how would you account for it? How would you pay for it? And then, of course, COVID comes along and is like a trillion plus type stimulus package just emerged out of nowhere. It has. But again, that has not actually gone to the people. It's gone to the banking system again. And it's gone to corporate bailouts again, which is exactly what you shouldn't be doing. But anyway, Andrew Yang's the man. Check him out. I think he's a thought leader in the space. We need people talking about UBI because UBI is actually happening in real terms in many, many countries now who are afflicted by this this pandemic. Okay.
Yeah. One more. Can we just? Yeah. No. It's not specifically brain food, but it is absolutely linked to that. People need to think about how they work. I was really delighted to see the UK government putting funds together for self-employed people. It was 5 days after everybody else, I think, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And a lot of self-employed people, of course, were very unhappy about that. But you really have to consider that if you choose to be self-employed and not work for another organization, the reasons typically for doing that are that you're going to earn a little bit more than somebody who is employed, and there are risks involved in it. There's more risks in that. And so, you know, you can't expect to get paid more and have no risk. I do think it was right to be giving self-employed people funds. Absolutely, I do. But I really should think it should be pointed out to people that you're taking a risk if you're self-employed.
I think there's a case to be made for that. I think there's a case to be made for, you know, what is the a just and equitable way of doing things. But at the same time, there's also a systems maintenance issue, which may actually trump that, meaning that, you know what, you have to do it simply to maintain the system and not have a cascading collapse. And that would sometimes mean that you end up bailing out the banks, the people who don't deserve it. But it's a really tough time. There is government action. And different governments are doing different things. And, you know, we'll look back on that to see who's doing it better. But yeah, there's some action from UK Gov, which is welcome. I don't think they've gone quite far enough. There's still a lot of people. I mean, I would defend the self-employed a little bit because at the end of the day, if they've got no rev, then what are they going to do? They're going to be on the street. We need to have something for them. And yes, they perhaps need to be reminded that, yeah, you know, they need to securitize against these types of external events. But what else are you going to do? Chuck them on the street? It can't be the way. Anyway, let's get on with the show. The show is about sourcing shortcuts. And the reason why this show, I think, is super popular is simply because candidate identification has still persistently been one of the most popular things in the Recruiting Brain Food newsletter. It's definitely the most popular in the top three. And one of the other top three is cool tools. Like, we all want cool little hacks and tools that can help identify candidates a little bit faster, a little bit better. So I've got a couple of amazing guests on the show. I'm really excited actually to speak with them both. But let me see if I can get Jonathan on first, because he is a guy, I don't think I've actually had a conversation with Jonathan, even though I kind of know him online for a long while. So Jonathan, I've just invited you on, accept that if you see it pop up. Basically, it'd be very good to have a chat with him. He's a sourcer. There he is. Oh, my good Lord. The wizard sourcer himself.
Today, yes.
You know what? I didn't realize you actually had the uniform, Jonathan.
I had the uniform. I'm ready to go here. I've got the wand and everything.
Amazing. You know what? That is so on brand. It's not true. Can someone please share Jonathan's blog link, please, on there? Because I think that is actually exactly how Jonathan looks on the blog. Quite amazing. All right.
Here we go.
Anyway, Jonathan, yeah, welcome to the show. And what a great surprise to see you. For the few people who don't know who you are, can you just quickly introduce yourself and who you work for?
Yeah, I've got around 10 years of sourcing experience, and currently I'm a tech sourcer at Amazon at our corporate office in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I started a blog called Wizard Sourcer about 4.5-5 years ago. And really, all I really blog about is talent sourcing tools. So the latest and greatest, what's trending. And I'm just kind of basing that off what I see in the market, also what people are saying on Facebook groups, and what people are downloading through the extension Chrome website too as well. So I've got a ton of different tools to kind of go through today. This is the same kind of presentation that I did at SourceCon Digital that happened on Monday and Tuesday this week. So we shared a lot of cool tools, and it's been a good week so far.
Fantastic. And just on SourceCon Digital, a quick shout out to everyone who was at SourceCon, by the way. They had to make a very difficult, but in turn out to be very correct decision to move their conference from an in-person to online. And they've just had that conference. So hopefully that was a good time for everyone. And they managed to experiment with this. You know, the truth is, the event scene is definitely moving, going to move online. So it'd be interesting to see how that kind of impacts that entire segment. So hopefully all those events businesses will continue to do well. Okay, talking about tools, let's get straight into it, Jonathan. What is the one tool that you think is the most useful thing for you personally? And I mean, it doesn't have to be a sourcing tool, it could be a productivity thing, but the one thing that basically you would download or plug in, you would use this because, you know what, it makes you faster, better.
You know, for me, I've got so many different tools. So I'll start with kind of the free ones, because I know, especially during this time, people are cutting budgets and they just don't have the money connected into, affording all the fancy, shiny tools presently. So is there a way for me to share my screen at all?
They may be. You might have to hover over yourself and do it from there. I'm not sure I can do it for you.
Yeah.
We did hover it before, didn't we?
Hover over your picture, and the panel comes up at the top. On the right-hand side of HD, it says share screen. Click on that.
All right, let's do this, guys. Okay, let's do
We don't do this very often, do we, Hung? We don't do a screen share like this, but I think this is useful when we've got wizardry in the room.
Yeah, it's because we don't have talented people on the show usually, you know. So so now Jonathan's here, he can actually show us some stuff and people can learn from it. So, okay, what are we looking at here, Jonathan?
So first off, it's a simple, basic tool, Google Alerts. It's a great tool to kind of monitor what's happening locally to your community. So with layoffs, I've got four or five different alerts going on presently. So I can see all the different companies and kind of what they're experiencing too. So for us at Amazon, we are hiring nationwide. So we are kind of in a boom town, so in a sense. For us. So it's great to set up these automatic alerts. And then also, if you are looking for remote sourcing recruiting jobs, you can create different alerts in your different towns, cities, countries. It's just a way to kind of monitor what's happening. Another great one is, of course, Google Jobs. So you can create different alerts to see what's happening in your community, who's still hiring. But it's a great kind of solution if you are just don't have the time to kind of monitor what's happening in the news or what's happening online. It's a great one. It's a basic one, but it's free, and I've had really good success lately with seeing lots of different companies saying that they're laying off people, and then I'm reaching out to the people and they are responding. I would say overall response rates are booming during this time of uncertainty too. So
So number one, everyone, Google Alerts, like basically use the basic tools, but go beyond what you think Google does. You can set up Google Alerts that basically, it's a crawler anyway, right? So you might as well use the product, get them to ping you on a daily basis, hourly basis, however long you want it. I think you can set the frequency of that. You can just input the search in and it will just deliver into your inbox the information you need. So you're basically using Google to do some sourcing and research for you. Very simple, but wow, every recruiter should be doing this.
John, yes. Jonathan, sorry, can I ask a technical question on that? So if you could just go back to that. So I'm interested to know, you've got a simple string in there, layoffs and Minnesota. I understood that Google didn't need the word "and" in there.
Exactly, you are correct. It's just a space too. So you can still quote it. All the basic operators still work with Google, and I've actually updated all the operators on my blog. So I'll share this with you guys later today, and kind of what they've changed with the operators. But space, quoting, you know, in URL, in titles, site, colon, they all still work with this function. But definitely I would do a couple, go very broad, you know, with these alerts in general too. But great question.
But not is minus, isn't it, Aaron? Yeah. Not as the
I mean, someone share the Google operator search guide for in the chat stream. That would be a useful thing. In fact, that link itself, Jonathan, just pop it into the chat and someone else can jump on that. Go ahead.
Yep. So, and these are all the updates for the operators. So take a look at this as of 2020. Google has changed some things, but take a look at that. If you guys have any questions, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn after this kind of call too. And also kind of the next tool, it's more of a forum. I would say that people are talking like crazy right now. They've got a lot of free time at home, but LeetCode is an assessment coding kind of website, but they've also have their own forum site. So basically, you can kind of figure out which companies are laying off currently. This is more North America based, but still a great list to kind of see what's happening currently across the US. So lots of companies are getting impacted. Another one that I love is Blind.
Sorry, going back to Leet, did you say?
LeetCode.
LeetCode, yeah. That looks to me, in terms of the kind of what they're talking about on there, that's kind of like Stack Overflow, isn't it?
Similar. So Stack Overflow is kind of like Quora, Q&A. You know, people can upload some code into that. LeetCode is like almost like HackerRank too, where people can log in, create an account, and you can figure out you know, different profiles on how they're coding, because they take all these assessments with LeetCode, and it's a great tool to kind of find people too as well.
Yeah. So it's just a case of going to the places where your target audience can communicate. In this case, software engineers, you know what? They're also having these conversations about what's going on, the freely sharing information. So if you're a tech recruiter, jump into this, leetcode.com. So leetcode.com. Okay, excellent. Keep rolling, Jonathan.
I'll keep going here. And my website's it's loading. So, you know, another one is called Blind. Same kind of thing. This one's more international too. So, but you're going to see all the different people. There's many different forums on, you know, who's hiring and who's laying off currently. So it's mostly tech related, but there's many different industries too as well. So tech, finance, IT, gaming, aviation, and you can kind of hear what people are experiencing currently too, with layoffs, like TripActions just laid off 400 people. Good to hear kind of insider tips too as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. I mean, a lot of people think social media is social networks, the LinkedIn and Facebook, and that's it. Especially recruiters, actually. I think, you know, we struggle to look beyond these networks, but it is sales and recruiter specific. People who are working in different industries often occupy different niches. And these are great examples of that.
Yep. And another one too is called Hacker News. And it's more kind of like a forum similar to Reddit. The founders of Reddit actually made this website, and it's just showcasing all the latest news in the tech community. But they also do kind of a monthly kind of newsletter showcase page where it's called Who's Hiring?
Yeah.
And who's looking to get hired too. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to see who's hiring, as well as people upload their resumes. So right here as an example, hey, I'm open to relocate. Here's my LinkedIn. Here's my email. Here's my personal site. I'm a data scientist, Perry Johnson too. So, and this goes on for years too. So I think it goes back to 2017 for all these different pages too. And basically to get to this, you can just X-ray news site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not popping up. You would just X-ray that, and then you would put it who's hiring, kind of within my ring. And basically, it's a great place to kind of see. I would say it's booming right now for people in the tech space, especially in the Bay Area, that are looking for either remote, fully remote openings presently too.
Hong, I think we're going to have.
That's fantastic.
I think we're going to need to turn off the chat, because I'm getting so much from listening to Jonathan. I'm getting so much from the chat as well, to be perfectly honest. So
Chat's going to continue. Please continue the chat. Don't listen to Adam Gordon. The most important thing is just don't pay attention to whatever he says. So please continue, especially Aaron sharing that amazing CSE for Reddit. That's exactly what we want to see. Keep sharing those links into that chat stream. Fantastic stuff. On Hacker News, by the way, that's a really great site. You can actually sign up to it freely to do. Great to source some interesting tech-orientated type of content. And actually, the Who's Hiring section, Who's Available section was actually the inspiration for the stuff I do in Brain Food, because I thought, you know what, here's an opportunity to simply share some information about who needs what. So great site to check out, Hacker News. Okay.
And even playing off Aaron, Matthew, fantastic suggestion too with Reddit. It's a great site to X-ray, and you can look for layoffs. You could search for different job titles, locations. That would be kind of my next suggestion. So right away, I see that U.S. Bank is a financial institution where I'm at. They're laying off around 700 employees. So great list to kind of go through and kind of look at. But yeah, and there's lots of subreddits. You know, that you can kind of check out for just kind of looking up news and just kind of seeing what's happening in the industry presently.
And what's interesting for people who are watching this, on the chat stream, actually, Aaron has shared a custom search engine for Reddit. So this will just look like a pared down Google interface. but it specifically designs a search for this social network. So it might be easier for people who don't want to do X-ray and stuff like that to check that out. Okay, this is fantastic stuff, Jonathan.
So let's go right into tools now, too. So especially in Europe, it's a little different compared to North America, but there's many different tools that I would recommend. There's a new one that's based in Amsterdam called Pre-Contact Tool. Has anyone used that one at all recently? Pre-Contact Tool.
Totally new to me.
You know, it's a newer tool. They've been around for maybe about a year, but definitely in the chat, if you guys have heard of it, let me know. It's a great one. I would say it's good for finding cell phone numbers, emails, but it's pretty new within kind of our industry. And roughly there's about 1,000 users, and but more it's international based. So it's great for European markets too as well.
So these tools, Jonathan, I mean, there's millions of them in the Chrome store, aren't they? I mean, basically, I don't know if anybody's ever done a tally or an audit of how many apps are actually in there. How do you discover these things? Is there a technique to doing it? Or are you just jumping on it every day and checking what's new?
Great question. I love to see kind of what's trending based on downloads. And also for me, I love to kind of talk to other sources within the industry. So we love to kind of talk and network with each other. And then for me with my blog, since I get so many views per month, I have people reaching out to me requesting demos. So I get to hear from a lot of industry people that are building new tools that are just looking to kind of get out there and get their name out there too as well.
That's when you know you've made it, Jonathan. You know, when vendors come at you and say, hey, listen, will you write about us? So it's fantastic you're getting that type of traffic to the wizardsourcer.com blog. Out of interest, how can you give me the traffic stats? Like, how are you getting, how many monthlies are you getting?
So I'm getting around, I would say on a good month, about 25 to 30,000 hits per month. So
that's awesome.
So doing pretty well on the site, and I've really grown it organically too. So, but really it's out of passion too. So, you know, I just love blogging about the latest tools, kind of what's happening. And for me, I love to go to Facebook groups and people pose so many good questions on what they're experiencing too. So even a new one, someone was asking about augmented writing tools. And I wrote a post about that actually yesterday on suggestions on, you know, what's happening and how can we kind of automate that. Textio is a great one to kind of get out there and kind of create more optimized job descriptions that are unbiased too. And there's so many other ones out there. But just as a quick example, usually I kind of see what people are talking about in those forum groups, the Facebook groups, and kind of see what's trending. And I just did a great interview with Marcel too as well.
Let's just stop. Go on. One second. Just before you're talking about these Facebook groups, give me the top three that you're in that you would get these types of tools from, because I'm sure the people out there would be very interested to check them out and maybe join them.
And I'll put these in the chat too as well. You know, for me, I love my own. It's of course, number one, of course, Recruiting Brain Food. I mean, there's so many people on that Facebook group page. They're asking a ton of good questions. I would say that's a great one to digest everything with currently what's happening kind of in our industry. I have my own Facebook group too as well, Talent Sourcers. Mine's more tailored to just showcasing tools. So that's really much all I talk about is what's the latest talent sourcing tools. Some people share kind of different things as well. But overall, those two are kind of my favorite. Of course, Recruiters Online is the biggest Facebook group presently.
That's Adam's favorite, that one.
Yes. Adam, what do you think about that one?
Well, it's the Wild West of recruitment, isn't it? So it's like that bar at a Star Wars where
Mos Eisley Cantina.
Yeah, where the guy got his arm chopped off. Yeah. So and anything goes on Recruiters Online. There'll be times where if I've got something to post and I think I want as many people as possible to know about this, I'll post it there. If I've got something to post and it's a bit more subtle, then I'll be posting it somewhere else probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That group there, Badass Recruiters and Sources, is a great group for growth hacks and tools as well. So that's Marcel van der Meer's group, which I think is excellent. People should go ahead and join that if they're interested in this type of content in the show. It's very focused on exactly the stuff Jonathan's talking about, you know, how can you use tools to get faster, better at the job of recruiting?
So this is what I was going to talk about, because when I saw that Marcel was interviewed on Jonathan's blog, one thing that immediately reminded me of is we're getting better as sourcers. We're getting better and better and better because we can collaborate so easily. And I don't mean like with people in your city or your country, but across continents. And there's a community that is right. It's in North America, it's in Europe, and it's one community in North America and Europe. I mean, it is. Yeah, there's people in other parts of the world that are in the same community, but it's no longer a, here's the North American sourcers, here's the European sourcers. It's one group, and standards are rising as a result.
Agreed. And Marcel has been good, such a great mentor to me too, and you know, answering my questions. And his group is just one of the best too. He's so quick to respond, and he's good at kind of having questions, kind of being asked, and overall, just phenomenal person too as well.
Yeah.
So listen, we've got a question from earlier on, which is a little bit less technical sourcing and a bit more sort of effectiveness. And it comes from Carmen, who said, everyone I've been trying to source were unwilling to leave their current work due to COVID-19. What tips do you have to source folks in this precarious job market? Jonathan.
That's a great question. I would put it back to basically when we were going through the recession. So people want to stay where they're at. They want to stay what's comfortable. They're uncertain about the future. They want to hold on. They don't want to make a move. Or B, their company is unstable. They're at a startup. They don't know what's going to happen. They've heard certain things in the news. And so you're going to be experiencing people that want to hold and wait for a couple months. Or B, they're at a startup and they're uncertain of the future. And when reaching out to candidates, I would say, you know, be empathetic, but also don't acknowledge the virus. I would say being very overly confident with what you're saying to them, being direct. And so they're going to see that, and they're going to say, oh, this company is still hiring. They're still growing. They're stable. You know, they've got a clear goal, and it makes them feel more comfortable. And also just being very direct with people is still kind of the best approach with what I'm experiencing in North America. That could be different in Europe, but I would say the more you can kind of emphasize just your company's doing well, as well as your interview process is all remote. You know, it's an easy step-by-step process for us at Amazon. Hey, we do a phone screen call. We send them, we have them do an assessment course, and then the final round interview is all remote over Zoom. So the whole process is pretty ABC driven. It's easy, it's direct, and people like that during this uncertain time. I also wrote a blog post about how to respond to questions, addressing all their concerns and kind of what I've been hearing and seeing in the market. So that's just my take too.
That's a fantastic answer, Jonathan. Very interesting to say that. Oh, by the way, we're using this new tool. So if you do have questions that you want to have answered, please ask them in this little bar at the bottom here. Ask the question there. We'll be able to see it and we'll get to it. So rather than use the chat stream for questions, ask them here. Otherwise, they'll run away from us in the chat stream. Okay, very interesting. You say basically almost ignore the current crisis because you know what? Everyone's talking about it anyway. And what you've got to do is basically project a sense of stability, a normalcy, which right now are super attractive characteristics, because that's generally lacking in everyone's kind of world right now. It's a moving beast. It's very chaotic. We're looking for things that we can trust So that's some really interesting advice there, Jonathan.
I would also add too is, you know, build out that list. Maybe people are going to be quicker to respond, but when you get them on the phone, they're like, can we hold off till April, May, June? And, you know, just say, okay, that's great. Would that be okay if I added you to kind of an email campaign? And that's kind of what we're doing at Amazon, is that we've got a huge list of potential passive leads, but they don't want to make a move now. So we've created a list through MailChimp, and we're keeping them passive. So for me, I'm sending out kind of like a bi-weekly newsletter on, you know, what's happening in the industry, how to prepare, how to work remotely, just kind of keeping them engaged and keeping them warm too. So I think we're going to see that on our end, is where we're going to have a lot of people where maybe they're not actively looking now, but in the future, come June, July, August, you're going to have a huge pipeline of people that are like, wow, Jonathan has been so kind to me, sending me tips, career tips, throughout this time of uncertainty. And you're kind of building that relationship with people too. So that would be my next suggestion for people, that just kind of building that talent pipeline as well.
You know what? That's amazing. I'm sure, Adam, you've got to comment on that, because this is your entire game. But I wonder how many recruiters do actually do that, you know, to take the time to take a rejection and to ask whether they're prepared to take to be on a mailing list, and but not just push jobs at them, you know, push value added content that helps that person, you know, in their careers. Presumably better if you're recruiting for a particular type of person. So, you know, if you're focused on, let's say, software engineers, then you could generate a newsletter that's relevant for that audience. Maybe a bit more difficult if you've got a wide ranging group of people, you might have to make a more generic newsletter. But yeah, that's a great idea. And it's using, you know, basic software, right? MailChimp, you can do a free account for X amount of sendouts, I think. So, you know, why not?
Just quickly to answer that question, the answer, I've said this a couple of times, but comes from Smashfly's marketing report. 4% of Fortune 500 companies send anything more than job descriptions to their lists.
4%?
Yeah.
So everyone else, 96% push jobs, right?
96% push jobs if they do that.
Wow.
That's it. Nothing else.
That's incredibly poor. And that's obviously some sort of automated BS thing, isn't it? Like how many vacancies we've got, just circulate that out. But yeah, that's ridiculous. But that's a straight away a differentiation factor that a recruiter can do on his or her own. Like you don't need your company's permission to set up a newsletter and give advice to candidates. And I would say even in these circumstances,
you probably do. You can't just sit part of Goldman Sachs' recruitment team and go, I'm going to start doing a candidate newsletter.
I think you can totally do that. Absolutely do that. Your job is to communicate to candidates. You're literally just doing that. I mean, why do you need official permission for this? It's something that anybody can do. Even if it is a case, you kind of independently say, look, this is my thing. I also help kind of coach sort of job seekers. Why not go ahead and do that? And right now, Adam, I would say even more importantly, because let's say many businesses and many recruiters might have more capacity than usual. This is a perfect time to figure out how to use a newsletter software and to use it for a purpose like this, so that when the upturn does come up, you're in a position where you can really go for it. Jonathan, I think we're stopping you from sharing these cool tools. So what else is on the road here?
You know, I know, especially in Europe, a good kind of email automation tool that most people are using is Lemlist. Has anyone heard of that one at all?
Yep.
Yeah, Lemlist is a French-based business. Yeah, really cool organization, and they send some. They basically make your email super interesting. Why do they make that? What is interesting about their emails, Jonathan?
I would say I love how it creates kind of the follow-up sequence. So I love how you can automate that completely. It's simple. It's easy to understand. The one I use is HireTool, just because we have HireTool Pro, and mm-hmm. I follow up with kind of a sequence of 3 to 4 emails. But Lemlist allows you to do videos. It allows you to do memes, pictures, and then also you can kind of rate emails for kind of the opens, clicks, replies. It's probably one of the best ones that people are using in Europe right now. So, yeah, that would be kind of the one that I would recommend doing kind of a demo of.
You know what? Just very quickly, a big quick shout out for Guillaume, the CEO there. He's also done an incredible job of running his business because I think he's took no money for it. He's literally bootstrapped this all the way through. And he's doing some amazing numbers for his own company. It's a classic example of how you do, I would say, a skinny startup. It's simply a valuable tool that you can get to a lot of people using it. And by the way, it's a European business, but this is definitely a global tool. I think anybody who is interested in getting a little bit more engagement with some clever visuals and what have you, Lemlist is definitely a product that you need to check out.
Great. And then here's another really cool one that I love. It's called Toby, and it's a way to kind of monitor and manage all your different extensions too. So if you load all the extensions at once, load times and search times for Google Chrome, it's going to slow down your computer drastically. So this is a one where you can kind of just save everything in one area and kind of manage which ones are open, which ones are closed. It's just kind of a great one to kind of just have. It's super simple, but very, very simple, but good to use.
What was the name of this tool again, Jonathan?
It's called Toby Extension.
Cool. So, and this is an extension manager, isn't it? So if you're one of these people that have got like tens, 20, 30 extensions that you use, then this would be a very good thing to basically save. Really good tool to use to optimize the speed of your work.
There it is. I think someone, David, I think he added it to the Chime message. So, Extensively is another great one too. That's simple and easy to use. So, definitely it's been around the block for many, many years, but very useful tool as well. So same kind of thing. And it's not loading. Come on, here we go. I've got so many things open at once, but it's a great one. Just it pops up on the side too as well. And you can see which ones are loading and how to organize based on just what's popping up too in the feed. So it's another great extension. It's free to use. So it's nice to say these extensions are free too. And another one that I really love now, I've been using it more recently, is WenX. And if you're doing a search on Google, especially with sourcing so much, you're doing many different searches. It's nice to see when you are doing kind of a search, this little button pop up with this extension. So, and it's freezing. Oh, I've got so many screens going on at once. So I could search my name and come on. I'll just search.
There's a company called Amazon that provides good hosting, web hosting. increased bandwidth, increased storage.
It's a little tool that kind of pops up and it lets you know the last time you viewed the page. It's not running right now, but WenX is a great tool just to kind of assess and see how many times you're viewing a page.
Why would you want to do that? Give me the logic behind this, Jonathan.
Here it is. So the logic is when you are doing X-ray searches on Google or on a search engine, it's nice to kind of see this tool and, I viewed this page 2 days ago, or I viewed it at 10 a.m. So just so you don't go back and view the same page over and over and over when you are kind of searching. You've got a million tabs open during your day. You're searching for profiles. It's just a really nice, simple thing to say, okay, I've viewed this page, in the past. And it's a good way just to kind of hold off in that too. So So I've got another really cool tool that I'm in love with. It is very expensive, but it's called Hired.com too as well. Has anyone heard of that one? It's very similar to Vetterly.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone's heard of Hired. They are in fact, they're still the leading matching product, I believe. In fact, they invented, I think, this entire marketplace model way back when. So yeah, this is a product where basically you're looking for a tech candidate. You put your job in there, and essentially Hired will, I think, with a mix of automation and manual effort, will basically produce qualified and interested candidates for you to interact with. So yeah, really interesting model when they first launched it. They really defined the category, I would say.
They really did too. And I would say it's so interesting because they have their own team of sourcers that go out and reach out to passive talent, and they put them in their own database. And these profiles or people, they're required to respond back to me. So with a yes or no, if they're interested. So, so it's 100% response rate, basically, give or take, of course. But it's been just a great resource recently. There's so many people that are looking right now with all these layoffs going on. But just my responses have skyrocketed in recent months. You can create kind of a basic Boolean string location, and it just allows you to connect with people more efficiently than using kind of LinkedIn Recruiter. I would say LinkedIn Recruiter in general, it's the responses have been going down and down year by year. So people just don't respond as much just because they get attacked, and which is understandable. But for this tool, it's pretty substantial just because it's people that are 100% open to looking at a new role right now. They've got all their information. They've included their resume, location preference, salary. And also it is international too as well. So it hits all the international locations too as well. So
Abhinav asked about ZapInfo. I think it's excellent. Interested to know what you think.
ZapInfo is a great one. It's so many things that you can do. There's so much you can do. So first off, it's a scraping tool. That's the kind of the number one thing that you can kind of do with it. You can pull people's profiles, information, kind of, and it's loading. But basically, you can scrape anyone's profile. So it doesn't just need to be LinkedIn. It can be all the different social media sites or just general pages. And you can scrape their information. You can enrich it and with all the different extensions. So I think it connects with True People, People Pro, Spokio. There's many other ones where you can kind of connect it, and it will enrich that data. And then once you have that data and those people with their contact information, you can kind of create an email sequence similar to Lemlist or Luxo or HireTool as well. So, but overall, ZapInfo is a fantastic tool. I actually live pretty close by the founder, Doug Berg, in Minnesota. Yeah. So I get to meet him maybe every 3-4 months. We've gone out for coffee too. But for them, they continue to optimize and update that tool. So it's pretty substantial on what you can use. And it's great.
Going in terms of sort of the rest of your thoughts on this presentation, Jonathan, have you got more tools to show us, or have you come to the end of the?
I will. My computer is freezing, so what I'll do is I actually presented all the different tools. I will send that in the chat. So Brilliant. If you guys have any questions or anything else you want me to cover in the future, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd love to help anyone else with suggestions. There's many different free ones here too, but since my computer is freezing right now, I think I'm kind of stuck for the time being.
That's great, Jonathan. I'm going to ask you a few more questions in any case. So brilliant to see that screen share. You can knock that off now if you want, Jonathan. And we'll share that sort of slide deck from SourceCon that you did into the chat so everyone's got a view of it. I want to just kind of just take the helicopter view, because one of the things that people might be looking at thinking, oh, wow, there's so many tools out there. They're amazing. I think this is actually one of Abhinav's questions again, which I'll address directly here. But let's talk about the stage by stage. You've got the candidate identification stage. You've got the candidate engagement stage. You maybe have the assessment thing you got to deal with. You then got to get them into a schedule somewhere that you got to organize them and all that type of stuff. Can you give us, if you like, your sort of best tool, the number one thing that you use in each of those circumstances as it goes to through the recruiting flow?
So yeah, no. So my best tool for finding contact information in North America is going to be PeoplePro. They are based internationally too as well, but I would say just the wealth of information that they give is pretty substantial. You can look at a LinkedIn profile. You can upload that in the search in PeoplePro, and it's going to give you their cell phone number, their email address. I would say their database is just massive for finding people. It's around 200 a month for kind of a basic package. There's other ones that are out there, but I would say if you're looking for the most bang for your buck would be PeoplePro for finding contact information.
And how it works is simply you take the LinkedIn URL of the person, you paste it into the system, and they will use that to basically crawl the net for things that are associated with that in some way, probably associated with the email, and pull back the contact information that you can use.
Yes. Yeah. And then my second stage too would be reaching out to leads. And the one that I use right now is HireTool, and they create their own kind of sequence of emails. And what I do is I do four emails. One's just kind of a general introduction, who I am, what I'm looking for. And then the second one is more just kind of like, here's the team, here's kind of the tech stack, here's what we're working on to solve. And then the third one is more just more comedic relief. I love to send out a meme or a video just to kind of get them engaged. And the fourth one, if they haven't responded, it's it kind of depends on where they're at, if I want to continue or on. But usually it's at least 3 to 4 within a sequence within a week too. And Adam, I would love to get your insights too on sending out emails too. If that's a good approach, I would feel that especially now people are responding more to email just because they are home. And they're more active too. So, but yeah.
Email remains, from my data and my experience, email remains the number one channel across every industry, every country that I work in, and every job profile, including people in like STEM, as well as people in things like sales. Absolutely, email's number one.
What about your view on the sequencing, Adam? I mean, Jonathan's talked here about sending a sequence of four, which for the people who don't understand, basically what this means, I believe, is you would preset the sort of emails you would send to this person based on their responses or behavior to the first email. So let's say they don't open the first email, you've already got within 2 days, you might have got a preset trigger to say, okay, if there's no open in 2 days, the second email goes out. If there is an open and there's no response, maybe a slightly different version of that email goes out, and you can basically, it's a way essentially of creating a lot of if-then type statements via email. What's your view of this sort of four emails in a week frequency, Adam?
A million different answers to that, loads of different things you can do. My favorite workflow is send them an email. If they don't open the email, 2 days later, they get a subject swap with the same content, just a different subject heading. 2 days later, if they haven't opened that, they get a text message with the same call to action in it. And if they don't open that, they're automatically unsubscribed. That's the way that I would tend to do it. But I also believe in nurture more so than what's the immediate call to action. So you talk about a sequence of four emails. I think the sequence should be indefinite. So it just doesn't stop. If somebody hasn't opened four emails from you, I'd delete them or find out another way of contacting them. That's not the way they're doing it. But I always say email, 2 days later, same email, different subject heading, 2 days later, text message. Automate that process, 3 steps. That's what I would do.
All right, that's brilliant. And Adam, in a rare case of you demonstrating subject matter expertise here.
some value brilliant. To this.
I'm stunned, mate. But I tell you what, that's a really important point, because the idea of a subject swap is kind of a nice way of describing it. So it's simply a case the person has not opened the first email. Doesn't mean your content's bad. It's simply maybe the subject line is bad.
They missed it.
Yeah. So, but anyway, you cover it both ways anyway, because you can't send the same email, because that would definitely be bad. But you can send the same content with a different subject line, and you can cover your bases that way. And that's based on whether you can track whether the person's open or not. Go on.
I mean, just give you one more statistic I've got about this, which is really interesting. If they haven't opened it within 24 hours, by the second day, the number of people that are going to open it is down to below 20%. If they haven't opened it by the end of 48 hours, the number drops to single digits. So yeah, you'd be as well at that point to, yeah, nobody's going to open it on day three.
Right. So the half-life, if you like, of an email is 72 hours. And it basically means after, you might as well have not sent it, or you might have well sent hundreds of them. So it's basically
48 hours. Almost certainly not going to open it.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to just describe one more thing for people who didn't kind of get, because this is a really important point also, which is, are you sending an email that is a call to action, like an immediate transactional email? You want this person to behave in some way straight away, or are you sending a nurture email? And I think it's useful maybe to have kind of a mentally in your mind, like, what are you trying to do? Because sometimes this person is simply not ready to move. So if you're just keep pushing him or her to move, that's just annoying. You need to move them straight away into a segment where you're nurturing them in your kind of emails, Jonathan, and the mailing list. You're not just banging them with jobs all the time. You're telling them about, hey, listen, here's a really cool idea for you can sort of improve your interview technique, something like that. You're giving them this nurturing value. So have a think, are you sending the email to convert, or are you sending it to build a relationship? And you can do both. There's no good or bad either way. It's just have a think about what the purpose of the email is. Cool. Well,
entirely. But the thing is, if you, the most sophisticated way of doing that is not sending the same thing to anybody, no batch and blast. It's every single click that a candidate makes determines what they get next. So you just I nearly swore there and said automating the out of it. So yeah, it's sequences are, I'd say, sort of Champions League, Premier League, and then you've got Champions League above that.
Can you use your tool to do this, or is that the premium tier of the product, Adam? Not to plug Candidate ID in any way, but I'm kind of interested in myself personally.
What, my free tool?
Yeah.
Yes.
That allows me to basically send, to create email sequences and stuff like that.
Yep. CRM.
Share it in the chat stream. People should check this out, because it's completely free, and completely free is my favorite number. Jonathan, we were talking about the various stages where you might want to drop in a tool or a quick extension to accelerate your performance in a certain part of the recruitment process. We talked about the messaging side. What else would you do after that?
So, after you send that email, definitely track the responses. So you can use a couple different tracking tools to kind of see if they're responding to the email message. That's a great way to kind of see if they are responding and so forth. And then for me, in North America, I love to cold call, which is a little different compared to other countries. People are home too, so there's many different tools to find their cell phone number directly, and I try to cold call them or shoot them a text message. Texting is definitely a great avenue now. People are home, they're bored, they've got nothing going on. So there's many different texting platforms that I've used and kind of showcased. Or
what do you use? I mean, the question was, what's the one thing you would use? So actually, you said two things there, Jonathan. What is the tracker you would use, and what is the texting service you'd use?
So for me, I've used Streak CRM for Gmail. Mm-hmm. That's a great one. I could add that in the chat too. It's a great one to use. There's many others too. So if you guys have any other suggestions, let me know. But that's the one that I've been using. For Outlook, there's a couple other ones. Banana Tag is one that I've heard of that people are using. If you're kind of in Outlook in that area, in that world. And
Outlook's okay. Yeah. Outlook's okay.
That's great. For texting, there's a couple different ones. Rextex is another one that's pretty good. Or Simple Texting is another one. Again, that's more North American based too. So I don't know kind of the market in Europe for those types of suggestions. So if anyone else has any tool suggestions for mass texting, especially in Europe. Shoot it in the comments too as well.
Yeah, I think the US is ahead of us on that, because the US texts a hell of a lot more and calls a lot more, I would say, than Europe. Maybe this is to do with GDPR rules or just a general cultural sense of privacy and so on. But I don't know of too many texting services coming out of Europe. I do know several coming out of the US. So a very interesting and underused channel of communication, because much easier for the candidate or the prospect to text you back. You know, I mean, it's like if you send an email, you basically need an email back. And guess what? Text is faster than email. So it makes sense to use that tech. Cool. What is that it in terms of the acquisition of the candidate through all of these tools and sequences? Would you say at this point, chances are you've got somebody? Yeah, that's it. That's the stack. That's the sort of technology in the portfolio you'd be using.
Exactly, too. And also, I've got on my website a list of sequence emails that people can use. Here's what I'm using presently. So if you need any suggestions on follow-ups or reach-outs, that's kind of what I'm using, too. So I have around 50 or so recruiter template examples that people can use.
That's amazing. Feel free to share that in the chat stream, Jonathan, because that's going to be a really useful thing for people to get to grips with. I think people, when they're encountering sort of a new channel or a new technology for the first time, often it's a case of getting an example that helps. You know, you learn through how others have done it. So it's great that you've assembled those templates. Feel free to share it in that chat stream, and I'm sure people would go and enjoy that. People have been talking about WhatsApp and Telegram, and it is interesting to see the geographical difference in the distribution of these tools in different places. I'm a huge WhatsApp user, but definitely I find that most of the people on WhatsApp are certainly more UK, Europe, and elsewhere. US guys are always the ones I have to invite to it. Facebook Messenger, Telegram, whatever is an IM tool, I think. Get your candidates on IM somewhere. It's a really faster way to do it than trying to bang through the front door all the time. We talk about how email is, but sometimes if you can get a relationship with somebody where they're prepared to connect with you on a social platform, it might sometimes be easier to do an IM on that. Okay, Jonathan, it's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for your, for your time. We've lost Adam already. I think basically he's got tired of his conversation. That's totally fine. I was tired of him as well. So just as well, he's disappeared. But thank you everyone for joining on
thank
the chat
guys.
Stream. Great to have you on the show. If you want to connect with Jonathan, just jump on LinkedIn, Jonathan Kidder. I think he's the top of the list on any search you put on LinkedIn. Please feel free to connect with him there. Do check out his blog post, wizardsourcer.com. It's a very highly cited post in Recruiting Brain Food. I think you've appeared several times on that newsletter, Jonathan. So keep blogging away. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be talking about a really interesting topic. It's going to be about recruiters' mental health in times of crisis. Lots of people are currently working from home right now, away from their standard work operating environment. A lot of us are also thinking about what the future holds in an economy that might be going into reverse. Lots of pressure happening in a lot of places. So we've got some psychologists to join us. We've got some therapists to join us. It's a different show, but I thoroughly recommend you register for it. It's live. The event's live right now, so I'll send everyone who's on this email a link to that, and everyone can join that. Okay, final shout out to our sponsors, Stack Overflow. They are the number one, I would say, place to look for software engineers. Certainly one of the most popular websites on the planet. It's a Q&A site, but they've also got profiles of candidates that you might want to source and attract via adverts. So please check out Stack Overflow if you don't know it already. That's about it for this week, folks. Thank you everyone for joining. Thank you, Jonathan, for being a great guest.
Thank you.
Sorry, Susanna Frazier. I was going to bring her on the show, but I couldn't find her in the search bar there. So either Susanna, the name I couldn't spell properly, or for some reason you weren't able to make it. I hope everything's okay. But we'll bring you back on the show at some other point. Definitely somebody I think that people would like to see. Everybody, have a good weekend. Stay home. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.